Okay. Somebody open us in prayer.
I will. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to have church this morning. We thank you for pulling us together to be the church, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah. In these times, Lord, everyone's so disconnected. We thank you for uniting us. We thank you for what you're doing within this church, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing through Jeanette. We thank you for the vision, Lord, and we know that it is going to come true, Lord God, because you promised it, Lord. When you give us a vision, it's just we have to have the faith, Lord, to continue to walk and to keep our eyes focused on you so that your vision can come into reality, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for the word. We thank you for what you're teaching us, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for everyone on this call. We ask you for those who are going to come in, Lord, give them the grace and the wisdom to come in early, Lord Jesus, so they do not lose or miss any of this word. We thank you in all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
So, I'm going to do a little bit of a recap on what we've learned about Joseph, and then we'll continue. Or maybe we should continue, and then I'll recap all of Joseph. That's what we'll do. Okay, so we're going to go to Genesis chapter...
Is it 46?
47, I think.
Oh.
I think Jacob has settled into Goshen.
Oh, 46.
Oh, Richard said it's 46.
That's what I thought. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so do we have a reader?
Exandra will read if no one wants to read this morning.
Great. Have at it.
Okey-doke.
Love it when you read.
All right. Thanks. Jacob goes to Egypt. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt. Did you say
stop? For a second. Yes,
sure.
Please. Okay, why do you think that Jacob was afraid to go down to Egypt? Why did God feel it necessary to tell him not to be afraid to go down to Egypt? What was going on there? Anybody?
Probably because Egypt was a heathen nation. And he didn't want to be a part of that particular environment. And he knew how wicked and evil they all were.
So Richard says, because I'm going to hold on 1 second because I get distracted real easy. My dishwasher's distracting. Okay. So Richard says, because Egypt is a heathen nation. I would agree. Also, God had placed Jacob. Remember, God placed Jacob in the land of Canaan. And when God places you somewhere, I don't care how rough it gets, you need to check. You don't just remove yourself from where God has placed you without checking with God.
Amen.
I'm going to give a quick story that just came to mind. I was in a church in Florida that God woke me up and told me to go to that day, a church I'd never been to. And I went to this church, and when I got there, the pastor was very insulting. And it was very much directed at me. He started talking about... let me put this in a capsule. In this, what happened is he started doing the hokey pokey and was telling the congregation to, you know, do the hokey pokey and turn themselves around, get the picture, which
no.
I found a little...
Break
I,
it
no,
down.
Get the picture. Please, get the
okay.
picture. He had you putting your left foot in and taking
no.
your left foot out. Then he had you
okay.
put your right foot in. I'm not kidding you.
No,
then
the real hokey pokey.
The real
hokey
pokey.
I thought she was real
funny. This is my first time visiting.
Stacy,
so
hi, everybody. Sorry.
Oh, good morning, Stacy. So
good
I
morning.
Find this, I'm relating a story that's going to get back to what we're talking about.
Okay.
So I find this very strange, but I'm looking
sure.
at all these people putting their left foot in, their left foot out, putting their right hand up, their right hand out, get
right.
the picture.
Yes.
But when he got to the point of, now do the hokey pokey and
uh-huh.
turn yourself
around. Uh-huh.
And
do we
that's
want to hear
what
this?
It's all about. That is
right.
what I came to church for. So I was, you know, I just kind of stood there and was observing. And
okay.
he was watching, apparently, to see, it was probably about a 200-people church, but apparently it was noticeable that this new person wasn't doing the hokey pokey.
Right.
And apparently it offended him because when the hokey pokey was finished, he began to talk about sadiddy, high yellow people that come into his church thinking they're better than everybody else.
Ooh.
And with their curly hair, come up in here with your curly hair. Well,
oh my.
I turned around and I looked over the entire congregation. It was a predominantly Jamaican congregation. And there
uh-huh.
wasn't another person in there that was high yellow with curly hair.
Whoa.
So
okay.
I found that quite offensive.
Wow.
And I looked at this guy like, seriously, that's how you treat a guest? And I said,
wow.
I don't need this. I don't need this. So I gathered my purse and
uh-huh.
my Bible and got ready to get up and leave. And God said, sit down. I said, Lord, I don't need to deal with this kind of foolishness. He
right.
said, sit down. And so I humbled myself and I sat down. They did a meet and greet soon after in the service, within the service, and
right.
his wife comes storming out the pulpit area where she was sitting, and she waved her hands for other people, and she came and personally greeted me, took both of my hands, and said, I want you to know we are all glad you are here.
Wow.
And formed a circle around me of welcome. But I still,
wow.
the pastor ain't happy I'm here, so I really need to go, but the Lord did not allow that. That day, that pastor gave a message, and his message was that God was birthing a ministry within you that's about to come forth. And I knew God was speaking directly to me. It is shortly thereafter that Second Chance got launched and we began doing plays all over Melbourne
wow.
and Coco and others. The Lord
wow.
had a message for me, and I was not supposed to get offended, get up and leave.
Wow.
Even though I got offended, I was not supposed to move from where he put you. Back to the text now. So Jacob is nervous about moving from where God had put him. But God comes and reassures him and says, don't worry. Don't be afraid.
Right.
What I'm getting at, children of the living God, is sometimes, whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you feel offended or you're not offended, if God has put you someplace, don't be too eager to jump up and leave. Because you can walk out on your own blessing.
Yeah, that's...
Something that
what
God is trying to teach you, show you, and it starts with humbling yourself.
Amen.
Somebody, you know, blatantly insulting, our inclination is to say, don't need this. I'll get up and walk out in front of this whole congregation. I'll show him. The Lord said, no, you won't. Right. You will sit down.
Mm-hmm. Jay, where
are
we
at the end of that service? At the end of that service, they had a moment where guests are supposed to stand up and introduce themselves, and, you know, that pretty much left me and me alone. And I got up.
Love
and
it.
I know God, and I had to tell the pastor, I am here because God sent me here today, and your message was Holy Spirit filled and spoke directly to me. After what he said to me, I still had to come back and acknowledge him with honor.
Wow.
Which was, anybody that knows me well, back then, that ain't the Jeanette way.
No.
But anyway, so Jacob has to be careful when God put him in Canaan. You don't just get up and leave. If there's a famine, and this is something that Christians, we struggle with, is sometimes we're kind of stuck because there's, you know, if we stay here any longer, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, how long are the 10 brothers supposed to go back and keep getting food? And the ground is drying up. And God didn't tell Jacob give Jacob the dream. He gave it to Pharaoh, remember?
Right.
Pharaoh was the one that got the divine dream that there was going to be 7 years followed by 7 years, 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. So Jacob doesn't have this divine revelation. Let me bring something up. Jacob is known as a prophet. He is known also as the patriarch of the nation that God called, and yet God did not reveal it to him.
Wow.
I want to get to something there.
Mm.
When God speaks to people, he chooses who he's going to speak to. And he doesn't tell all of us everything.
Amen.
So just because you may have the gift of prophecy or God has used you in that manner, it doesn't mean that he's going to tell you everything.
Mm.
He didn't tell Jacob. He just told Jacob, don't be afraid, this is me. Don't be afraid to leave where I have placed you, this is me. Okay, keep going.
Genesis 46:4, for all the newcomers online, Genesis 46:4. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will come close your eyes. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's son took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. So Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt, taking with them their livestock and their possessions they had acquired in Canaan. Jacob brought with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. These are the names of the sons. I'm sorry?
We're going to skip all of these names.
Good.
We want to see
how.
And we're going to kind of rush through this a little bit because we did do a lot of this on Wednesday. Now we're going to go straight to
18, maybe?
No, we're going to go to
28. Oh, wow. Okay, ducky. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to
him, "Stop right there. Do you hear what Jacob is saying? He's saying, now I'm ready to die.
Right.
Which means that sometimes we don't have very high expectations of God, do we?
Mm.
We see that we finally see this son that we have longed for that we thought was dead and blah, blah, blah. And we say, okay, that's enough for me. I'm ready to go.
Yep.
We'll see. we'll see one of our children saved and say, okay, that's cool, yeah. I'm ready.
Yep. I've done my job.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Jacob goes on to live 17 more years. He lived,
wow,
ironically, as long as Joseph was old when he was thrown in the pit.
Wow.
Joseph was thrown in the pit at 17 years old. And from the time that Jacob is carried into Egypt, into the land of Goshen, he lives 17 more years. Jacob lives the best years of his life there. Because as you'll hear later, you know, his years had been hard. And think about, you know, and we didn't go into Jacob's story, but Jacob's story, his life had been hard. You know, from the time he left, remember he got the promises of his father Isaac, and from the time he left and fled to his uncle Laban, you know, he became a laborer there for the wrong wife. And, you know, just, you know, his story will go into another day. But these are the best years of his life that he's ready to cash in his chips on. He said, okay, I've seen you. I'm ready to die now. Lord said, no, not so fast. Not so fast. These will be the best years of your life. Who would have thought? Certainly not him. Keep going.
Verse 31. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household, who were living in the hand of Canaan, the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds. They tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and their herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptian.
Okay,
Joseph,
stop there.
Sure.
Stop. So Joseph, you know, prepares his brothers for what to say, because he's already told Pharaoh that, remember? Joseph already told him that his family were shepherds. But he's going to make sure that the stories come out the same.
Mm-hmm.
So Pharaoh's going to ask you, what you guys do, say you're shepherds. That's an abomination to Egyptians. In other words, it's a lowly, detestable occupation to Egyptians, that you handle animals all the time. But on the other hand, it therefore made the land of Goshen most appealing. Why? Because Goshen had the finest pastures and well-watered land in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the richest land in Egypt. And he's saying, tell them this because, you know, tell them this and you'll get the land of Goshen, which is where I'd want you to be and where you'd want to be. Best place for feeding your flock. So Joseph goes ahead and his brothers do as told, and they settle in Goshen. And Joseph brings his father in to meet Pharaoh, and that's in verse 7. Let's skip from chapter 47. Verse 7, please read that.
Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled.
Stop there. Mm-hmm. I went over this Wednesday, but I'm going to bring it up again. One of the things that I want you to notice is that Jacob says, my years have been few, or in his pilgrimage. In other words, Jacob acknowledged that this is not his home. And he was not just talking about Egypt. He was talking about this earth. Is not his home. And each one of us need to remember that we're only passing through. Don't get so attached.
Hallelujah.
The things. Don't get so attached to ambition, because none of this is going to matter. We're all going to hit the finish line at the appointed time for us.
Amen.
And then our pilgrimage here on earth will be over.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob recognized that he was only a pilgrim passing through. And he says his days at that point were 130, which was was a big deal to Pharaoh, because the Egyptians didn't quite live that long as these Hebrews are apparently living. Now I want to point one more thing out, and that is that Israel, Jacob, synonymous, same person, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Does that sound a little odd? Jacob blessed Pharaoh. We've talked about that it's detestable for the Egyptians to even eat with Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on here? Why Jacob is blessing Pharaoh? Somebody tell me. What's going on there?
Mm.
It could be because Jacob put his son, Pharaoh put his son in charge, second in command to everything, under Pharaoh himself, in charge of everything. He could be blessing him because of that, and that he foresees the blessings that he's given not only to his son, but to his entire family as well by being a part of being able to live in Goshen.
Could be, and I think that's part of it. He recognized Joseph as being something very unusual, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Hebrew slave that he puts over all of Egypt. So he's recognizing some kind of divineness in Joseph.
Mm.
Well, this is now Joseph's father. I think that even people who do not acknowledge God can see the God in you.
Amen.
If we're living the way we're living, then people should be able to see the God in you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got blessed, let me say this, by a patriarch, he's not just a patriarch, but as we will see that every blessing that that Jacob gave even his sons came to pass. And that's because he's a prophet. His blessings are coming out of the mouth of God through him. He's speaking God's divine plan. Well, there's something special, and people should be able to see that in us.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met somebody that you've never met before, and they've walked up to you and said, and just started talking to you, or asked you, "Will you pray with me?"
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have had that experience. Some of us are growing into that experience. But if you keep submitting to the Holy Spirit in your life, expect that.
Amen.
Because they will see there's something about you. And what the world is seeing is light in darkness. So I'm saying that Pharaoh, who is the most powerful man on earth at this time, recognizes this old man from Canaan as above himself.
Mm.
Because as rich as God, as Pharaoh was, Jacob was even richer in the sight of God. He's just a poor beggar coming out of Canaan in need of, you know, land and you know, provisions. But that's not what Pharaoh saw.
Wow.
So let us start living in a way that people can tell, that people will know you are a Christian, not just by our love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
What about our love, period? Or what about God's presence in us? There's Christians that are not even recognizable as a Christian.
Yeah.
Because they live like the world, they do what the world does, their decisions are governed by the world. That's got to stop. At some point, as the Holy Spirit grows in you, these things should begin to fall off. And it shouldn't be something that's because of what you say. I've had strangers walk up to me that couldn't possibly know who I am in Christ. Okay, keep going.
Verse 11. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramesses, thank you, like Joseph. Okay. As Pharaoh directed, Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all the father's household with food according to the number of their children. Joseph and the famine. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is all gone." Then Sure.
I want to emphasize something. Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in Canaan and the grain, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. There is no hint of embezzlement. Is it only because Joseph had enough? Or is it because the years of being molded took away the desires that could cause him to falter?
Yeah.
I think that Joseph had been through so much that he now understood principles bigger than money and stealing.
Amen.
He understood that I have come from nothing, from a pit to a palace. And God sustained me in the pit and is the one sustaining me in the palace. It is not necessary to take what does not belong to you.
Yeah.
Because God who has provided for me will continue to provide for me. I don't have to, you know, try and hook and crook and try to, you know, set something aside just in case. You don't have to do that when you walk with the Lord.
Amen.
He will take care of you. If your money vanishes, he will take care of you.
Hallelujah.
So Joseph could be trusted with that kind of wealth. Nobody's overseeing Joseph. So Joseph can be, you know, sending a little cart out to Goshen now and then and piling some excess money in the ground somewhere so that he makes sure when his family leaves this place, they leave well taken care of.
Right.
But there is no hint of that. He brought the money to Pharaoh as he should. What a testimony to us.
Yeah.
Keep going.
16. Then bring your livestock, said Joseph. I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep and goats, their cattle and donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all of their livestock. When that year was over, they came to him the following year and said, "We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land." Wow. "Why should we perish before your eyes? We are our land as well. Buy us and our land in exchange for food. And we with our land will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate. So Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh. The Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. However,
now,
he did not...
Sure. I want to bring up that from one end of Egypt to the other. Do you know why he moved the people around from one end to the other?
Now, why?
He did that so that their attachment to what used to be their land would be broken. Think about it. If you were an Egyptian and you had this farm and you were doing well, and then this terrible famine hit, and now you got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If Joseph just gave you the seeds to work your own farm, in your heart, it would always still be your farm, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, in his wisdom, he knew that if I move the people all over the place and mix it all up, and they're working land that they know is not their land, they'll lose the attachment to the land that's been turned over to them.
Wow.
To Egypt. And I think, when I think on this, and it sounds harsh, but I think that this was a very compassionate move for the people. And
mm-hmm.
the people loved Joseph for it because they knew that on their own, they really would have perished.
Yeah.
So what looks like
a good thing, wait a minute, that's a good thing not to have an attachment to the land? What was the good thing about it?
Not having
said compassionate
to the land. Go ahead.
No.
Not having
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Ms. Jeanette.
Not having an attachment to the land they once owned, the land that had to be turned over to Pharaoh in order for them to, you know, stay alive. Their land wasn't producing anymore. They didn't have any more money to buy. There's no more grain. There's no more seeds. There's nothing. So what was good was that they, in other words, Stacy, if you get evicted out of your home, you will still feel like it's your home if the new landlord says, well, you can continue to live in it, but it's not your home anymore. I hold the paper. Well, it will be kind of hard for that landlord to deal with you because emotionally you still think the house is yours. Does that make
right.
sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
that's what Joseph
yeah.
did, is move people around so that they didn't have this attachment to the land they were working anymore. Because it wasn't their land. In other words, Stacy, you got to leave your house. We're foreclosing. The house now belongs to the government. And we're going to move you because of the deal we made. We're going to move you to a house that you'll be renting from us. And that's going to actually be, you're in Dallas, to say, we're going to move you down to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So you totally get now that where you live isn't yours. And that the new land that you're working isn't yours. It belongs to the Pharaoh. But keep reading, because it's amazing the compassion that Joseph had on the people. Keep going.
Yeah, I think even being filled with the Spirit, I mean, nobody can think like what he's doing for them. I think it's awesome.
Exactly.
22. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. Joseph said to the people, now that I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is seed for you so that you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other, four-fifths, you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your households. And your children. Teaching them about tithing already. I love it. 25. You have saved our lives, they said. May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. we will be in bondage to Pharaoh. So Joseph established it as a law concerning land in Egypt, still in force today, that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. It was only the land of the priests that did not become Pharaoh's. Now
right
the
there.
Israelites... Sure.
So 20% of everything that they grew, they had to give back to Pharaoh's land and their Pharaoh's servants. But look at the kindness of this slavery.
Yes.
They were
yes.
allowed to keep 80% of what they made
yes.
for themselves and their family.
Mm.
So what Joseph achieves for Pharaoh is that Pharaoh actually now owns all of Egypt. There is no private ownership anywhere except for the priests.
Right.
And yet he still made a way for the people that they can still survive and still have dignity. And why do I say that? Because there's dignity in being able to provide for your family.
Right.
He didn't reduce them to, you know, harsh labor practices that caused, you know, cause them to lose their own self-respect and dignity in the eyes of their own family, their own children, their own wife. But he made a way where they can still provide. So if you work the land hard, and I'm giving you the seed, then
right.
you're going to reap the benefits and be able to take care of your family just fine through this. Instead of reducing the land or reducing Egypt down to a desolate, you know, terrible
yeah.
place of, you know,
yeah.
poverty. What wisdom God gave Joseph.
Yeah.
What wisdom? Mm. Keep going. Mm. No, we're going to, okay, so Joseph's vow, and then we're going to stop there for a second.
I'm sorry?
Go to verse 27 through 31.
You got it. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried." "I will do as you say," he said. "Swear to me," he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Keep going.
We're going to just, only for a moment,
okay.
I just want to stop there because what is Jacob saying? Jacob is saying, "Do not bury me here
yeah.
In this land."
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's already been there 17 years, so does anybody do the math? It sounds to me like the famine's been over for a while now.
Right.
Why is Israel still there?
Hmm.
Why? Hmm. Remember when they came, they said, "We're only coming to sojourn with you." Sojourn
right.
means only for a temporary stay due to the conditions. So
mm-hmm.
now it is, 17 years later.
Right.
Why are we still in Egypt?
Get comfortable.
Richard said because we got comfortable. Does anybody see the correlation? Sometimes God will take us to a place where he's doing a particular work. In this case, he was preserving his people.
Right.
But we are not meant to stay at that place. Let me give you an example. Sometimes God will bless you and you're newly saved and you find a great church family, great church home, and God continues to bless you on your job, and now you're getting situated, you have a house, you have this, you have that, and you go to church every Sunday and you're done. They're done. He's got the house.
That's a life.
Exactly. And you got, you know, and you go to church every Sunday. Where's the problem?
Right. We ain't helping nobody. Selfish.
That's a problem, though? It's a problem because you're too settled,
if
you're too
you
comfortable.
Content.
Well, when you get comfortable, this and there's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings that God has given us, but we're not supposed to stop growing.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to forget your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your only purpose is to be blessed and go to church every Sunday? Is that what you think your purpose is? Well, as long as I go to church every Sunday, I'm good. But where's your fruit?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the fruit that indicates that you're now producing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you generous? Do you give? Do you help others
mm-hmm.
with what God has blessed you with? Or do you say, well, I tithe my 10%, done with that too. There's no extra. There's nothing for, you know, a beggar or something else because, you know, I got this
mm-hmm.
bill, that bill, and the other bill, and I'm piling it up over here in the bank for a rainy day. I'm a good steward. Are we living, when we find ourselves in a comfortable place, are we living? Are we growing? Are we progressing in our walk with Christ? Because I've met people that hit a place of blessing, and they are there the rest of their lives, but there's no more growth.
Yeah.
They sit in the same spot, in the same church, every week till their time is up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not helping anybody anything. They're not witnessing. There's no
mm-hmm.
fruit other than you can guarantee they'll be holding that bench down on that spot every Sunday morning.
And their lives are blessed, right, Jeanette? Their lives, they have reached a blessing where they're comfortable in their life. But that does mean
just
you still need to grow, I think.
Yes. Don't forget your surroundings.
Yes. That's me. I've done
don't
that.
Don't forget your
I've
surroundings.
Done
what happened
yes.
here with Israel? They forgot their surroundings. They're sitting
exactly.
in the brink of Egypt. They're just on the outskirts of Egypt.
Yeah.
They're not in the place of blessing. Their place of blessing was Canaan. And I'm sure the pastors have grown back in the land of Canaan by now. But they're comfortable.
Yeah.
They're comfortable with the provisions being given to them by their brother, Joseph. That we can work if we want to work, not work so much if we don't. Keep up with our livestock. Our families are growing. Why would we leave a place of blessing? They did not want to leave the place of blessing to get back to the place of promise.
Wow.
The place of promise was Canaan. Jacob, the patriarch, the prophet, he understood that. He said, don't let my bones be buried here.
Mm.
This is not the place of promise.
Mm.
It's the place of provision.
Yeah.
And he also said, I will surely bring you back again. So God told Joseph that he would bring him back to Goshen, or back to the land of Canaan at some other time. But you get comfortable and you lose that focus of what God has said.
Yeah.
They were only supposed to be there through the famine and through the provision.
Wow.
But we get comfortable in Egypt ourselves.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true.
I went to church this Sunday. What do you want?
Yeah.
I put in an hour. Okay, hour and a half. And I take up the tithe, or I greet people at the door, or I've really grown where I sing in the choir sometimes every fourth Sunday. So what do you want from me?
And I'm blessed.
Right. Exactly.
So I must be doing right because I got my house, I got my car.
My family's well.
Right.
So?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is don't forget your surroundings.
Amen.
There's nothing that indicates that the Hebrews, God, was becoming relevant to the Egyptians past the work that Joseph did.
Right.
So we're not infiltrating. We're not changing. Our God is not being introduced to. We're just living among our family and having a good time with ourselves in our provisions. We're not reaching out. We're comfortable in their camp instead of us bringing them into ours.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but I'm not really mingling because I don't go to clubs anymore, and I don't do this, I don't do that. And so even though I'm in Egypt, Egypt isn't in me, really? Because when you tarry outside of where God originally placed you, you stay longer than you should. Next thing you know, Egypt was so in them by the time they went to leave Egypt that they, 5 minutes of Moses taking too long to get out of a mountain, and they were building a god.
Right. Wow.
Where did this come from? Because when you are in the wrong company for a long enough period of time, you are being affected by the environment. You are either affecting the environment or the environment is affecting you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
And if you're not growing in Christ like you ought to be, if you're not seeking him and staying connected to the vine, and you think you've arrived because Sunday's it, and you don't do anymore, well, by not growing, you're going to be growing, just not in the right direction.
Right.
That environment is taking a toll on you. This world is taking a toll on you. America is taking a toll on you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Our values, our lack of morality.
Yes.
The whole mindset of this culture is taking a toll. So if you're not growing, you're being absorbed by the world.
Yes.
Even though they felt they were doing enough, we live outside where, we don't really mingle that much with the Egyptians. They were mingling enough because they sure knew the Egyptian ways.
Right.
Did they know?
And not only did they carry those ways with them out of Egypt, but it became a problem the rest of their days. Every time you look up, they were doing things that they had learned in Egypt from the heathen.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the incident in the desert. It just kept going. Okay. Next.
That was so good. I can almost rest on it. All right. Sometime later, Joseph.
Girls, amen.
For real, whoever said that. Hallelujah.
Sometime later, Joseph was told, "Your father is ill." So he took his two sons to Manasseh and Ephraim along with him. When Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has come to you," Israel rallied his strength and sat up on the bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me and said to me, 'I'm going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you.' Now, then, your two sons born to you in Egypt before I came to you here will be reckoned as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine. Any children born to you after them will be yours. In the territory they inherit, they will be reckoned under the names of their brothers. As I was returning from Paddan, to my sorrow Rachel died in the land of Canaan, while we were still on the way, a little distance from Ephrath. So I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, 'Who are these?' 'They are the sons God has given me here,' Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said,
bring them to me so I may bless them. Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left towards, But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger, and crossing his arms. He put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from the all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on earth. When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, No, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, In your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, I am about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. And to you I give one more ridge of land, then to your brothers the ridge I took from the Amorites with my sword and my bow.
Stop there. What's going on?
Wow.
Jacob is blessing Joseph's sons. I want you to understand,
right.
Remember when we talked about Reuben maybe a month ago? And remember that Reuben, the eldest son, had lain with his father's concubine, Bilhah?
Oh, yes, yes.
And therefore, Reuben lost his birthright. Remember when we began to read that Reuben's the firstborn, he's supposed to get a double portion?
Right.
Because the firstborn always gets a double portion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we see Jacob is giving Joseph the double portion.
Yes. Yeah.
In other words, Manasseh and Ephraim are getting a whole portion, and Joseph. So
yeah.
Joseph is receiving the double portion that should have gone to Reuben.
Ooh. Hallelujah. How you get that?
But remember, now as big a blessing as this is, and when I'm finished up, with the brothers, all of the brothers and where they ended up and blah, blah. Then we're going to deal with Ephraim and Manasseh because you're going to see how that prophecy that Jacob just gave came true.
Wow.
Remember that sometimes God changes stuff up. Remember, yeah. Jacob was the second, not Esau was the one in line for the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But Jacob got the blessing from Isaac. He stole it, but God allowed it.
Yep.
Where else in the Word of God do we see the second-born son receiving the blessing, being the son of promise? Where do we see that? How about with Jesus?
With whom?
Remember Adam.
Oh.
Adam was the firstborn.
Yeah.
And then Jesus had to come, mm-hmm. and Jesus became the promise.
Right.
Adam is the firstborn of men.
Mm-hmm.
by the father. But the firstborn didn't end up with the promise. He had to send his only begotten son in spirit to be born of man again. That makes Jesus the secondborn,
right.
Adam being the first.
Mm.
You're seeing a pattern here, and you're seeing a foreshadowing of the Christ.
Mm.
Now, even though that Joseph ends up getting the blessing of the firstborn, Reuben gets Reuben's blessing, it's interesting because still Joseph is not the line the Messiah comes from.
Mm.
So he got this blessing, this blessing, which was a great blessing, but he doesn't get the blessing that belonged, that was going to go to Judah. And Judah is the line Jesus comes from. There's not a greater blessing. Judah's the one that he said, my scepter will never leave his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm going to have to close. Unfortunately, I had all this stuff to go over, and I can't do it because I'm out of time.
How come? Oh,
we thank you for your time. We thank the Lord.
Oh, wow. Oh, I just realized the time. That was beautiful. That was juicy.
So we're going to go through on Wednesday, I guess, this capsule. There's one more thing we have to deal with concerning Jacob's character, and then we're done. I mean, Joseph's character, and then we'll move on to the next two sons, Zebulun and Issachar. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of this word. Any questions or comments?
Wonderful, as always. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Daddy.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Yeah, thank
All right, we're going to close in prayer.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. What a privilege it is and an honor that we can even come to your throne of grace. And we're coming collectively, Lord. You said where two or more are gathered in your name.
Yes.
There you are in the midst. Please honor this as a gathering, Lord. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you anoint each one of us today. I ask you, Lord, that your word take root in us and flourish, grow, change, transform, strengthen, and encourage, and convict, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let your word do what your word and your word alone can do. Yes. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for giving us the wisdom, Lord Jesus, that it takes to understand your word. Thank you for all good things come from you. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to begin your imparting of wisdom in each of us and let it grow.
Yes.
I ask you, Lord, that you be with us as we go from place to place and that your word stay with us, Lord. Let it not be something they heard on Sunday and forgot by Monday, Lord. Let the word be living within our heart so that our behavior begins to become subjected to your word, Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
By the power of your Holy Spirit that I ask you to pour down and ignite each one of us this day.
Yes,
in Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
You guys have a good week. Some of you all talk to
you.
Jay, can
you
hear me?
God bless.
I think.
Hello?
Didn't hear you, friend.
Oh, yeah. No problem. I'll talk to you later. Have a great day.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Jeanette. I'll talk to you later, too.
Yeah, of course. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.